And chapter 7, that's where we are, I believe. And we have seen so far in the book of Revelation, 6 of the 7 seals open on that scroll, that book, remember? 6 of the 7 seals have been opened. Now between the 6th and the 7th seal, you're going to see that we have an interlude. Between the opening of the seventh seal and the sixth has been open. Now, before the seventh is open, you're going to see kind of an interlude. That's what we're going to look at in chapter 7. It's a break where we're kind of given some details. Sometimes you'll see the break explains action that is taking place, or even sometimes it gives us answers to some questions that we might have. You'll see that John and the Lord are going to follow this pattern through the book of Revelation. 6 things, a break, the 7th. 6 things, a break. You'll see the pattern as we go through. And that during the breaks, like I said, we're either given some more details or some things are explained to us, some of the action that's going on, or even some of our questions are answered. I kind of believe that you'll see that some of our questions are answered here, besides getting a few more details. Now, it has been brought to my attention by a few people, a couple of complaints, and so those complaints basically are this, that I give too much of my opinion. I have done my best, so forgive me for that. I've done my best to say, this is my opinion. Throw it in the trash. But sometimes I have it and got to get it out. So I'm doing my best to say, this is my opinion. If I forget, then forgive me and I'll repent on the next tape. And in the next video and in the next lesson. But so I'm trying to not sway you one way or the other. Of course, if you're wrong, if you're right, I wouldn't want to sway you at all. But so there. Now, after these things, chapter 7 says, meditate, after these things, what things? The first 6 seals that you saw. I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, before we go any further, this is a common question, and I think God's going to answer it for us. It's a very common question that arises among Christians when we begin to discuss the tribulation period. And a very common question is, well, let me get this right. Will people be able to be saved during the tribulation period, during the 7-year tribulation period? And if they are able to be saved, how will it happen? It's a very common question that we as Christians ask. Well, if the church is taken, raptured, although we know that the Spirit goes with the church, yet the Spirit, God's Spirit is everywhere. The Spirit will work on the earth, although He will not restrain any longer. And so evil will now spread throughout. So the Spirit is, I believe, the restrainer. I believe it is the restrainer. Now, if you believe something different, God bless you. That was my opinion there. I want to make sure we got this clear, because I do not want to make you think that I'm the only right one. Although, the Holy Spirit is the restrainer, I believe. When the Holy Spirit is taken, that restraint is gone. Evil will begin to wax or grow worse and worse. Now, of course, we know God's Spirit is everywhere. The Spirit will take up what I kind of call an Old Testament working again. As you saw the Holy Spirit work in the Old Testament, you will see Him work during the tribulation period, the 7 years. If you think, well, what was that like? Go back and read the Old Testament. And you'll see how the Holy Spirit works. He would come upon an individual for a specific task and then leave. Except in rare cases. Now remember, you, if you are born again, if you are not included. But if you are born again, if you have Jesus, asked Jesus into your heart, if you are truly saved, the Spirit of God has been given to you to seal you as a gift. as an earnest, as a I don't care, as a down payment. In other words, as earnest to show you that everything God has promised you, you're going to have. You've got God's Holy Spirit Himself in you, within you. No one else, not the Old Testament saints, not the saints to come in the tribulation period, none of those have the Spirit as you do. And it is a special position that you hold, you the church. No one will ever hold that position but those of you that are born again in Jesus Christ. It's called a period of grace. From the time of His ascension till the time that He raptures the church, that is the grace period. The church age, you can call it what you like. The times of the Gentiles, whatever you like. But it is a free offer. It goes out to anyone right now, all through the room, all through the United States, all through the world. Anyone who is thirsty, come. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you come. And you can buy without using money. You can drink of the waters of life freely. You come now, He says. Now. But the question again is, will people be able to be saved during that 7 years? And if the church is raptured, which I believe the church will be prior to the start of the great tribulation or the tribulation, if the church is raptured, then who's going to tell people about the Lord? How are they going to be saved? A very common question. Have you heard it before? Maybe you've asked it once. I think chapter 7 gives you the answer to that question. Now, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor in the sea, nor in any tree. Now, the Bible there, I don't believe, and you can call this opinion if you like, I don't believe the Bible there is teaching that the world is flat. Although some people use this scripture to say that the Bible is teaching the world is flat. The four corners of the earth. Well, I've been in some small towns, and you would swear the world is flat because people leave there and never come back. You know, they would just fall. But when God is talking about the four corners, or when the Bible is talking about the four corners, or when you and I even use the term today, the four corners of the earth, what we are talking about, not that the earth is flat, but the points on the compass. Simple points on the compass. The north, the south, the east, and the west. That's what's being referred to here when you see the four corners of the earth. These four winds, I believe, according to, when you always want Scripture to interpret Scripture. So I think these four winds you're seeing, now we've got a break between the sixth and seventh seal. I think these four winds are winds of judgment. Why do I think that? I think that because when I read Psalm 148, verses 7 and 8, I read this. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons, and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. So even the elements will be used in judgment to fulfill the word of God. So in other words, judgment is coming. Now, what you saw when you saw the four horsemen, you saw basically a bird's eye view of the 7 year period called the tribulation. What you saw didn't happen in just one little week or one little piece of time. What you saw took some time. You saw a bird's eye view. For instance, when the Antichrist rode out on that white horse, whom I believe, that's my opinion, that is the Antichrist, not Jesus Christ Himself. On that first horse, the white horse, because Jesus Christ opens the first seal and you see the white horse. Well, when the Antichrist rides out, that piece and him taking over, that's not going to take 30 minutes in an afternoon. It's going to take some time. So you're kind of getting, with these four horsemen, a bird's eye view, if you will, of the entire events. And now we're going to get some basic specifics. Now, we see this. I saw another angel ascend from the east. Verse 2. Having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels. Those that were holding back the winds, the judgment, the winds of judgment there. To whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. He said this. Verse 3. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. There is a seal upon you right now, if you are truly born again. Now, nobody else can see it. You know, we don't have a big C tattooed on our forehead, which stands for Christian. And so we can all say we're Christians. We can all go to church. We can all go to whatever we go to and we'll say, I'm a Christian. People believe you until you show them otherwise. You can't tell. But in the spiritual realm, it is instantly known. Satan knows instantly who you belong to. One look at you and he knows. You are sealed. But the seal that you have is not in your forehead. Where is it? Right. Somebody said it. Good. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Literally, God, the Holy Spirit, has taken up residence in you. And believe you me, when Satan looks at you, he don't want to get within 1,000 feet. Because the Spirit of the living God is there, and that is the power. Not you. There is no power in you. I'm sure you're impressed with you. That's just my opinion. But there is no power in me. There is no power in you. The power is of the living God, His power, His authority. And you have the Holy Spirit. You are sealed, the Bible says. But what happens when the Spirit takes up an Old Testament working relationship again with the world and the people in it? And the church is gone. How are you going to know who Christians are if there is such an animal, such a thing? Well, here, you're going to see at the beginning, or near the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, you're going to see that some of the servants of God are sealed in their forehead. Now, it will not be a visible sign to everybody else in the world. It's still a spiritual sign, but something to do with their forehead. Now you know why the Antichrist wants to seal the people, don't you? Because Satan has never had an original idea. If he ever had an idea, it would die of loneliness. He doesn't have his own ideas. Where did he get the idea to seal you in your forehead? He got it from God himself. See, Satan is a mocker. He does things because he has seen them done. He is not a creator. God is the creator. Man is not a creator. We just think we are. We're impressed with our abilities. But anybody that says they're a creator, you just look at them and say, okay, create a new basic color. And then just leave them alone. They'll crack. You know why? You can't do it. Because man is not a creator. We can take the colors that God has created, the basic, and we can make all sorts of different hues and shades out of it, but we can't come up with a new one. Why? It's not in there. We're not built that way. We are created. We are finite. We begin and we end. God doesn't. And so they're going to be sealed in their foreheads. What will the seal be? I don't know. That's just my opinion. I do not know. I don't know what the seal will be. But I know God will recognize it and the devil will recognize it too. Heard the number of them which were sealed. Now we're given a number. And I'd like to point out something. And this may be, some people accuse me here of being trivial or grasping at straws. I don't think I am, but I'll leave it with you. Notice that when God deals with Israel, when the Lord God Almighty deals with His people, Israel, He deals with them with dates and with numbers. Have you noticed that? When you go through the Old Testament, even when you go through the New, even here in the book of Revelation, you're going to notice when God is dealing directly with his people, he deals with dates and with numbers. But when he deals with the church, I've noticed he doesn't deal with dates and he doesn't deal with numbers. You and I don't know dates. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't have special days. By that I mean basically every day to us is holy unto the Lord. Doesn't mean you can't have a birthday or a celebration of some sort, but you understand the point? God doesn't deal with numbers. When you see people in heaven that are saved, you're going to see that you can't count them. But here, I believe this is a clear indication that this is literal. I'm trying to make a point here, and my point is this. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. 144,000 people were sealed. Later on, we're going to find out they're all men and they're all virgins. But for right now, we're going to realize that there are 144,000 sealed of the children of Israel, of the tribes of the children of Israel. Literally, I believe this is literal, and these are the children of Israel. This is not a hidden term for the church. God has, in chapters 2 and 3, had no problem mentioning the church or talking to it or about it. So God is not ashamed or embarrassed to mention the church. The reason you're not seeing church anywhere is because the church, I believe, is in heaven right now, and we're dealing with the earth. 144,000. Now, there are some religions, and I use that term loosely, a religion or a couple of religions that say that they are the 144,000. Well, they're not. And one of the sad things is a couple of religions say that, and both those religions have passed 144,000 a long, long time ago. You think they'd shut it down and let nobody else in. But they keep on going. And, of course, you talk to them, and I'm one of the 144,000, right, out of the 2.5 million that are in your church. 144,000 of the nation of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, sealed 12,000. You're going to see 12,000 from each tribe. 12 times 12, 144,000. 12,000 times 12,000. And I think, you know, at first you think, 144,000, that's a lot of people. Well, not when you think that there are well over 15 million Jews right now. Well over 15 million, only 144,000, that's not very many, is it? If you take a number like 15 million, it's a small number. 144,000. And then he kind of lists the tribes for us, and I'm not going to do a whole tribe thing here because this isn't a place. It doesn't work well here. There are a couple of places that it really works excellent. You can go through the tribes and talk about it, but here it doesn't work. So we'll just read it, and I'll point out a couple of things I see. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Okay, now right there you stop because you know, from reading your book of Genesis way back there, you've read that, I know, and you remember that Reuben was born first, wasn't he? Reuben's the oldest, and so he's supposed to be listed first, but here in the book of Revelation, God is having John write this, and Judah is mentioned first. People say, well, the reason is because Jesus comes, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, so Judah has to be listed first. Well, that's a nice try, but no, there's a reason that Reuben is listed second. And I think you recall it. When Reuben was actually the firstborn, but because of gross sin, as you go back and read through your book of Genesis, you'll see, he forfeited his position as being first. Because of gross sin, he forfeited his position. So even in the book of Revelation, even near the end, when it's almost finished, he is listed second. He has given up his first position. Notice, And this is, I think, key here. Notice that he is not taken out of the list. He is just not allowed his rightful position as first. Now, I think we can apply that to ourselves before we move on, looking for application. When a Christian sins, does that Christian lose their salvation? I don't believe so. Not according to the Word of God. But you'll notice when we sin, the sins are forgiven, but we lose rewards, don't we? Our works turn out to be wood, hay, and stubble as opposed to silver and gold or brass. Remember that? Remember studying through 1 Corinthians? The answer is no, they don't lose their salvation, but there will be a loss of rewards. Reuben doesn't lose his sonship. He just lost his first position. That's something I just think we ought to keep in mind. I just thought that was interesting. I wouldn't make a whole one-hour tape out of it, but I think that's something that you and I need to consider. The tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, this is verse 7, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. 144,000. And they are Jewish sons. From each of the tribes. This is not, there's no way I think you can spiritualize it and make people think it's England or the United States or Ireland or Wales. No, no, these are 12,000 people from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is literal. Somehow, at the beginning of the tribulation period, 144,000 of them, the scales are going to fall from their eyes and they're going to see Jesus Christ as Lord. They're going to be born again after the church is raptured. So if you're worried about who's going to carry it on, it's not going to be the videos you leave. It's going to be 144,000 men that are as Jewish as you can be and are able to realize that they are of what tribe they're of. And this I beheld, and lo, or after this, I'm sorry. I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could count or could number. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, they stood before the throne. Now on the earth, 144,000 are saved and sealed. And you're going to learn later on, I've cheated, I'll tell you. Later on, you're going to read that they are going to evangelize the whole world. These 144,000 are going to go out into all the world preaching the gospel. That God, he never leaves the earth without good news. As long as people are alive, God will give them an opportunity. Notice that. As long as you're breathing, you still have a choice. Someday you won't be breathing, it'll be over. But as long as you're alive and you can hear or you can see or you can feel to read or whatever you can do, as long as there's a way, God will continue to call to you. And of course, you and I, whatever we answer is always up to us. But you see here, 144,000 are going to evangelize the world. And they're going to do an amazing job. Now, we read, after the sealing of these 144,000, the scene comes back to heaven and John says, I beheld and look, a great multitude standing in heaven there, which no man could number. You notice God's not dealing with specifics here. He says there was so many you couldn't count them. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, standing before the throne. Now see, we're in heaven again. And they're standing before the Lamb. They're clothed with white robes and have palms or palm branches. That's the idea. In their hands. Here's an amazing scene in heaven. A number so vast you couldn't count them. From all the different places that there are on the earth. I knew you were concerned about those far off tribes. These 144,000 are going to get to them. And these guys are impressive. What has taken the church 2,000 years to do, these 144,000 are going to accomplish in 7 years. They are going to cover this planet with the Word of God. And people from everywhere are going to be born again. There, people from all walks of life are going to accept the Lord. So many of them that you couldn't count the number of them. And they're standing there before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palm branches in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." So they're worshiping. And all the angels stood round about the throne and around about the elders. Remember the 24 elders? Who do they represent? And the four living beings. And they fell down before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God. Now there is something. You take a look at what we're seeing. Stop and look into heaven and look at what we're seeing. Here in heaven, we have an amazing scene. We have Old Testament saints. We have the church. We have tribulation saints. We have the living beings. And we have the angels all together praising and worshiping God. What a scene we've got in heaven. How do I know they're the tribulation saints? I read further on. Verse 12 saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen," they say. And one of the elders, which I believe represents the church, came over to John. He said unto me, verse 13, "What are these which are dressed in white robes? Who are they? And where did they come from? How did they get in here to heaven? And who are they?" And John said unto him, or I said unto him, "Sir, you know." Now, that's an idiom that's used in the Greek there. In our language today, I think that this is what we would say. Someone would say to you, "Who are these people?" And you would go, "I haven't got a clue." "You know." "I have no clue." John is saying, "I don't know who they are. You know. You tell me." That, I believe, gives us a clue of who they are not. Do you see it? Because, and see, I'm always looking for these kind of things. I know you think I'm strange, but I have to. Who are these people? That's when the elders, which I believe the 24 elders represent the church. But whether you do or not, it's still one of the elders. And he's asking John, "Who are these people?" And John is saying, "I don't know. You tell me, you know." Well, if John said, "I don't know," then I'll tell you this. If it was the church that were there represented, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, John would have known them. He would have recognized the church. He would have said, "They're the ones that belong. They're the bride of Christ. They're the body. I see Peter over there, and there's Andrew, and I know who they are. They're the church." But he didn't say that. No, he didn't even recognize them. Also, I think if they were the Old Testament saints, John would have said, "Oh, they're the Old Testament saints. I recognize Abraham. There's Moses and Elijah. I saw them up on the mountain. I know who they are." But he didn't recognize them, did he? Why? Because they are who the angel says they are. Who the elder says they are. They are tribulation saints. John doesn't know them. He recognizes the Old Testament saints. And he recognizes the church, but he doesn't know any of the tribulation saints. They hadn't even been born yet when John was alive. And so he says, "I don't know who they are." "Sir, you know." And he said to me, verse 14, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They have died somehow during the Great Tribulation period. They came to the Lord and somehow they died. You're going to see as we progress through the book of Revelation how many of them died. Most of them will have been martyrs. Most of them. And remember, the number was innumerable. You couldn't count them all. And here's another that we read. Therefore, or because of that, because they've come out of the Great Tribulation, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. When you yourself study about the church in eternity, you will see the church has nothing to do with the temple. Notice that. Throughout eternity, they rule and reign with Christ. The church does. But here, these tribulation saints, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Where will the temple be? You have to put it all together. You have to study your Bible and put it all together to understand what's going on here. It's going to be a new heaven, new earth. There'll be a new temple built. Will the church live in the temple? No. The church will live in New Jerusalem with the Lord. True? Some people teach and believe that that's what Jesus has been building. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And since I'm going, I'll come back and receive you. Where I am, you'll be also. Some people say He's building New Jerusalem, and that's where the church will stay, and then it'll come down out of heaven. And some people teach that, and we'll talk about that when we get way near the end. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, these tribulation saints, serve Him day and night in the temple, and He that sits on the throne shall dwell among them, the Lord. They shall hunger no more. This kind of gives us a clue of what they put up with in their lives during this 7 years. They shall hunger no more. Probably many of them starved to death or were starved. Remember, if you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. You're going to have some troubles. We'll see that in Revelation 13. He says, they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore. So obviously there was a thirst problem as well. There would be, if, as you notice, how the waters are going to be destroyed, the fresh waters. You'll see that coming up. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. So there are some kind of heating problems that they'll have to deal with or put up with. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There you go. Now, tribulation's not over. But God has kind of given us a break between the sixth and the seventh seal to let you, to answer your question, what about those that are on the earth? If the church is gone, who's going to tell them about Jesus? 144,000 that are like the Apostle Paul, 144,000 Apostle Pauls combing the earth, and God will seal them and they will not be allowed to be put to death. Every one of the 144,000 will stand there when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation. God promised they're sealed and He won't let Satan touch them. Doesn't mean they won't be a little thirsty or a little worse for the wear, but they're going to be standing there. And they will be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Salvation is a gift. I'm amazed when I read chapter 7 because these people, many of them, will be alive to see the rapture. They will see the rapture actually take place. That means that somebody probably told them about Jesus at one time. Maybe they saw a stupid video. Maybe they heard it on the radio, accidentally got the wrong channel and couldn't change it fast enough. Maybe someone sent them a tape from their church, and you know how people, Christians are, always trying to find sneaky, tricky ways to get you to heaven. Because they want you to be miserable. So believe me when I tell you, opportunity after opportunity, there they are still. And you know, amazing that salvation is a free gift. Free. You didn't earn it. I didn't. We have not kept it, by the way. You aren't keeping it now. You can just relax thinking that your death grip is going to hold on to God, because it can't. It is all God. And all I got to do is just simply walk in His strength, in His power, in His will. I don't even have to have my own ideas. It's a gift. Someone, you know, Christmas time comes along and someone comes up to me and says, I'd like to give you this Christmas gift. And I say, oh, that's really good. Okay, next week I'll come over and mow your lawn. No, you don't have to. No, I want you to have that. I'm going to give it to you. Okay, look, all right, I'll make monthly payments. I'll pay you back monthly for, you know, 20 years. You're not understanding, are you? It's a gift. It's something I want to give to you. You don't have to pay back. You don't have to do chores or go, do things for it. No, this is a gift. All you have to say is thank you. That's all. All you got to say is thank you very much for this and accept it. That's how easy this whole life is. And yet you see, look at the large number of people who will be standing there and I wonder about me and you. I wonder. Have we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Or is this just something you're doing because you're so bored with life, you got nothing else to do on Fridays? Or it just really seems like the nice thing to do for your family? Or, you know, as some people think, well, you know, there's power in it. Man, I can hook in there, I'll get a special gift, I can become people are doing things for the wrong reasons. Somebody told me that the next chapter proves there will be no charismatics in heaven or Pentecostals because it says that there's silence in heaven for a half hour. So, I don't think that proves that, but I've heard all kinds of rumors. You know, there won't be any Methodists in heaven. Won't be any Presbyterians, no Catholics, no Lutherans. No Pentecostals, no Charismatics. There will be no Calvary Chapel. You know what there will be? Christians. Won't that be nice? And Christians who won't be able to talk behind your back because you'll hear everything in heaven. Won't that be nice? All that pressure will be off every one of us. We can just relax. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ? We're going to share communion together before we close. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. The gospel is simply this. He lived a sinless life. He was God in human flesh. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified on the cross at Calvary. He died on that cross, shed His blood for the sins of the world, was buried. 3 days later, He rose again from the dead. And a little while after that, He ascended back to heaven where He came from, sits at the right hand of the Father, and is coming soon again to judge the living and the dead. All you have to say is, yes, I have sinned, and yes, I want that free gift of eternal life. That's how easy this whole thing is. If you've never done it, do it right before we share communion.